Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, good morning. It's great to see everybody today. And today, I'm just going to cut straight to it, then introduce a friend that's going to share about what God's doing in Chicago. Daniel mentioned they're from Naperville. No, Chicago. There's a big difference. So I just want to say this. We're talking about it's better with you, and it is. Let me say with all my heart, it's better with you. And part of the thing that makes it better with someone is when we all get an eye for including people. We all get an eye for recognizing greatness in people. Did you know that God created you and He put something great in every single one of you in this room? There's not one throwaway in this room that God, in His infinite wisdom, knit you together in your mother's womb, and there is something so worthwhile in everybody here. And the tragedy is when we fail to see it. And I think that it takes a godly thing to be able to be honed to start recognizing that. One of my very good friends in this church work is Randy Theriot. He's done worship with us right now. He's at kids camp. He's our children's minister. And one of the things I love about Randy is he's got this ability to see good in people. We have had some of the most ragtag dudes come to our church that ended up being on the worship team. Because he'll be like, I see something in that guy. Like Adam Garcia, we've basically raised him from a little child, our drummer. But it's Randy that reached out and said, you know what, I see something here. We had one young man, I'll never forget, the crowd he ran with. This young guy looked like he crawled out of the 60s, long hair, and he was just a wild man drummer, talking about Dave. And one day, we came to the office, and there was this big jar on this desk, and we're like, what is this a jar of? And I looked at him and said, why, that's a jar of marijuana. And everybody's like, what? No, it's not. And our secretary that's never seen marijuana in her life saying, no, it's not. It can't be. And I opened it up like, that's marijuana. There's a big jar. I mean, it was a big jar of marijuana in our church office. I'm like, okay, it's on Randy's desk. I'm like, Randy, what are you doing with marijuana on your church desk? Trev, it's not mine. So we start figuring out, well, it was a friend of a friend of a friend, of course. But it's one of the guys connected to a young man that Randy's investing in. And I'm like, you just can't bring marijuana. Well, the kid whose marijuana it was called me and says, Pastor Trev, can I have my marijuana back? You know what I told him, right? No, man, I flushed that a long time ago. Great story. But I said all that to say this. Randy was still looking at this young man saying, nah, Trev, I see something in this guy. And just wouldn't quit. Now they call this young man Pastor David. And yeah, it's exciting. Why? Because on the surface, we look at like, so you're going to bring friends that bring marijuana to the church office. You obviously don't have anything to offer. My boy Randy sees past all that. And he was able to look and say, no, I see something in him. Let's invest in him. Let's work with him. Let's talk to him. And before long, you started seeing the work of God unfold in this young man's life, and you started seeing fruit. And we hated to lose him, but he's a youth pastor at a church today. Thank God. Thank God. I want Crossings to be that kind of place. I want Crossings to be that kind of place where we don't just see the outside, where we see what God has put in someone, the greatness of God's birthed into them, and we're able to, from the back row to the stage, be able to look at someone and say, no, I'm believing that God's done something awesome in that person's life, that there's this seed of greatness in them, and I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to have eyes that see it and call it out. Why? Because we believe it's better with you. With all our hearts, we believe it's better with you. Now, one of my great joys today, I first met Chandra because Chandra ran a youth ministry of like a bunch of kids, like, it's bigger than Crossings Church for sure. And if I want anything done, I'd call Chandra. Chandra, raise your hand. So Chandra's been a friend of mine for a lot of years, and she met this guy in took Chandra away from our youth ministry there in Naperville, named Todd. And I like Todd a ton. And they're doing the Chi Alpha ministry in the University of Chicago and your other place as well, right? So when you talk about being in a rough place, I think the college campus is the most critical place to have Jesus represented than anywhere in the world. And you talk about people that have to have eyes to see greatness, it's these teams. So Todd, would you come up and share? We're going to give you guys a window. Get up here, Chandra. Love you, man.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It is morning, right? Okay, cool. Because I'm still like in Chicago time. Yeah. So it's about what? Almost.
Wow, it's almost late. You're hungry.
It's after 1 o'clock, I think. Forgive us. We've been traveling through different time zones. We were in Alabama, which is not a different time zone from Chicago. And then we traveled to Phoenix and just got off a plane and all that good stuff. But we're so happy to be here. As Pastor Trev mentioned, my name is Todd. This is my wife, Chandra. Just like Pastor Trev, whenever I need something done, I call her as well. I say, Chandra, I need you to do something for me. And that's our son, Ethan. He's the one that was just making all the noise down there. And we are honored to be here. We are your guest missionaries this morning because we do ministry to college students on the quote-unquote secular college campuses. And Chi Alpha is a missions outreach to the secular college campuses. It's on over 300 campuses throughout the states and overseas. And that's why we do campus missions. I gave my heart to Jesus. I was a pothead, actually, before giving my heart to Jesus. And then Jesus got a hold of my life and completely turned my life right side up. And it was on a college campus. And so what we do now full time is bringing everything full circle. What God has done in me and in my wife, he's now doing it through us. And I'll let my wife talk a little bit about what's happening in Chicago.
Okay, good morning. So Chicago, I'll just give you a little taste of just our mission field. So Chicago, at any given point, has 500,000 college students walking around town. There are over 50 college campuses, universities in Chicago, in the Chicago area. So the need to preach the gospel on campus in Chicago is great. And we are only on 5 of those 50 plus campuses. But God is giving us so much grace and provision to do what he's calling us to do. Those 5 campuses, I think we have a map actually that can kind of just show you. Yeah, you can kind of see there, Northwestern, Loyola, Columbia, UIC, that's University of Illinois at Chicago, and St. Xavier University. So those are our 5 core campuses that we do ministry on week in and week out. And our mission is to build a citywide community of authentic student disciple makers. Basically, we want to disciple students so that they go on and make disciples while they're still on campus. And so we want just an outbreak, I guess, of just discipleship happening on these campuses in Chicago. So how we do that is weekly activities. We have small groups happening on campus every week, multiple on each campus, and those are student-led. We raise up leaders, our students, to be missional on campus, so they lead small groups every week. We have prayer meetings. There's over 15 prayer meetings that we host throughout the city on campus every single week. So prayer is a really big value of ours. And so we have prayer meetings, like I said. We have discipleship groups, which are a little bit more formal, a little more structured, life-on-life, sort of more accountability discipleship that takes place if students want to go one step further in their walk with Jesus. And we also have a large group meeting every Friday night. It's a citywide meeting. Students from all 5 of those campuses descend on UIC, which is our central campus, and we do just a big worship gathering. So it's a really powerful connecting point for our students. And week to week, we also have lots of different evangelistic outreaches, just praying for students out on campus, giving free coffee. You guys know the way to college students' hearts is free food. So we do lots of free food and giveaways and fun things like that. But I'm going to stop talking now and show you, give you a taste visually of what we do. We have a short video that we wanted to play for you guys. Oh, we didn't get the video. Oh, it's okay. No worries. That's fine. We can act it out. Do you want? Okay. I'm just kidding.
So the video was just going to capture everything my wife just shared, but this past year we saw such amazing fruit. We had over 30 students give their heart to Jesus this past year. Incredible stuff. We had 11 students get baptized. In fact, we had 11 baptisms. One of them was the head of the math department at one of the colleges in the city. It's just amazing what God is doing, but we do have some prayer needs. We're here to, number one, give an update, inform you of what Chicago Chi Alpha is, but also, of course, say thank you for supporting us. We are one of your missionary partners that you guys are helping to make an impact in the city of Chicago. And so here are our prayer needs. I'll make this really quick. Number one, staff growth and development. Right now we have a team of about 10 full-time staffers. By 2020, we want to have 20 full-time staffers to help us transform the city of Chicago through the college campuses. And so we appreciate your prayers for that. Student Leaders Retreat coming up in like 2 weeks. And that is where we take 3 days to really train our students to go forth and impact their campuses for Christ. I cannot overemphasize how critical those 2 days are. If you can please pray that God would enable us to impart to our team of student leaders whatever training they need to impact their campus coming up this year. Fall kickoff, we are raising $3,000 right now. We're in the midst of a campaign to raise those funds to be able to finance our outreaches that takes place the first 2 weeks of the school year on each of those campuses. So we have five campuses. We're looking to raise $500 for each campus, plus an additional $500 to be able to cover our citywide outreaches for the first 2 weeks. I'll just say this really quickly. That is so critical. When it comes to a college student finding community, the first 2 weeks of the school year are critical. And so we pull out all the stops to really cast the net wide through barbecues that we do, giveaways that we have, outreaches that we do to connect with students when they first step on campus. Over half of those who got baptized last year are students we met during the first 2 weeks of the school year. So please pray for that. And finally, we're applying for an internship program to be able to train other Chi Alpha ministries to go into urban settings to do outreach. And we are here this week, as I give the mic back to Pastor Treff, we are here this week spending a week training other staffers throughout the nation over in Phoenix at the resort. And it's called the Grand Resort. It's that way, yeah. But we're here for a week, and that's why Pastor Trev was gracious enough to give us this opportunity to give you an update. But we are here as part of a training for a week. We're going to help train over 800 staffers from across the nation who've come here to be able to go back and make disciples on their campus. So please pray for us this week as well. Thank you again. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Trev.
Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Thanks, guys. I hope you can see why I love them. And I'm so proud to have people like that represent Crossings Church, you know, people that we can support and get behind. Which takes me to just a few things that I want to share this morning on how we can be the kind of people that would step onto a campus or step onto this church grounds or our workplace or our household and be the type of people that see something different. That would speak value in life in a culture that speaks anything but. So if you will, we're going to look at the shortest book of the Bible today and read almost the whole thing. Philemon, towards the back of the book. It's right before Hebrews. Many haven't read Philemon. Some think I'm saying it wrong. They're like, no, it's Philemon. We'll go Philemon. So here we go. Philemon chapter 1, that's the only chapter there is. Let's just say verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Let me pause there with verse 6. Verse 6 is awesome. He says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding. He's talking about your understanding of what? All the good things we have in Jesus. If we want to be a community, we want to be a people that's able to see what others miss, we got to know the good news. We got to have the lights turned on as to the love of God and the promises of the Word of God. If we don't understand what the Word of God says, we'll never really come fully alive and understand just how much He loves us, or how much He's forgiven us, or how much He desires to use us. We'll never have a picture of it. And Paul's saying this to Philemon. He's saying, I'm praying because of your partnership with us, because you're active in sharing the gospel, that you're going to have a deeper understanding of what's in Jesus. He says in another version, I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have an understanding of all we have in Jesus. So there's this element that says when we step out and we say, okay, there's 50 campuses. Is that what we said, 50 or 55? 55 campuses in Chicago. What does that have to do with Crossings in Goodyear, Arizona? It has Goodyear, Arizona. Yeah, that's right. We are Goodyear. Crossings in Goodyear. What does it have to do with anything? Why does that affect Crossings Church? Because I believe with all my heart, when we care about what they're doing, it broadens our understanding of the love of God. When we partner with anyone in sharing the gospel, it expands our knowledge of the love of God. Go try this week. Go work up the guts and find a way to tell someone in your life that Jesus loves them in a meaningful way. And you watch what happens to your heart. You watch how you come alive. You watch how when you read the scriptures the next time, they'll just pop off the page. Because God does something special to the person that says, I want to get in on letting others know about the love of God. There is an enlightenment that comes to that person that goes way beyond any. You could sit in class 24 hours a day and listen to someone teach about the Bible and not have as much spark in you as the person that will go out and share their faith and act on what they've learned in one chapter. That person will have a deeper understanding of joy, of faith, of what God's doing. I want us always to be a group of people that's excited about what we have in Jesus. One of the sure ways to do that is be active in sharing the gospel, both in partnering with what's happening in Calcutta or in Chicago or what's happening in Mexico or what's happening in Goodyear. When we say we're excited about making cards to send to the cancer treatment center to tell someone with cancer, hey, we're thinking about you and we're praying for you, that opens something else up in this church that makes us a place you want to be a part of. So that's the basis of having a life that says, I can see something better in people because I'm starting to understand what's better. The person that doesn't get that will never have the insight to see something better in someone. It's the person that's gotten hold of the gospel and is living it out, experiencing the joy of God, that's able to start recognizing potential in other people. Without that outlet, you know what we become? Curmudgeons. I love that word. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. Curmudgeons. We don't want to be that way, man. We don't want to be stodgy people that just know a lot of facts about God. We want to be people that what we know about God, we're acting on. And we're sharing with the people in our lives. So, that's verse 6. That's the first thing. Verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. See, he's pointing something great out in Philemon. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, who is my very heart. I would like to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. I like what Paul does here. Now, let me explain some of the situation. Philemon is a rich guy that lives in the city of Colossae. He owned slaves. This young man, Onesimus, was a slave that ran away from his master. He ran away to Rome, and while in Rome, of all people, somehow he bumps into Christians, gets saved, and meets Paul. While in Rome, he begins to help Paul out, and it's one of these conversations. So, where are you from? Colossae. And, oh, do you know a guy named Philemon? Because there's a house there in his church that I started. Yeah, I know Philemon. Yeah, we met. And as the story unfolds, it turns out that Philemon was his master. And now Paul's got this dilemma, because you see through Paul's writings that he was not a big fan of the slavery thing. So now he's writing Philemon, and he's saying, hey, I've got this guy. And he's awesome. He once was useless to you. Now he's useful to not only you, but me as well. He's like my child. Oh man, this guy's big in my life. I mean, Paul, you see where Paul is able to spot value with Onesimus. And he's declaring his worth. But he doesn't just do it with him. He's also doing it with Philemon. Because somewhere along the line, Philemon found Jesus too. And he's not just building up one side, he's building up the other as well. I love people that can see value. How many know it's not a gift of the Spirit to criticize? How many have ever met someone that thought it was? Like something's going on, they step two steps back and they'll tell you everything that's wrong with what you just did or everything that's wrong with you. And when you're done hearing it, you're like, That is not listed as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's discernment, but there's no place for like criticism. But there's all kinds of place where we're to build people up. Ephesians 4:29 says this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is good for the what? The building up of others. Unwholesome talk isn't walking into church and saying, boop, the F-bomb or some other word. Yeah, you don't want to do that. But unwholesome talk in this passage is speaking of things that don't build people up. I would love for us to be a people that could see the value in folks, because we know what value is because we're partnered with the gospel. And then being able to let things come out of our mouth that build people up. How good would that be if you walk through the doors of a church or your school or home and people are just able to declare, hey man, I see something right and good in you. He found a bunch of good things to say about Philemon, a guy that owned slaves. But yet, Paul was able to see good things. He's coaching him through this. He is able to see good things in Onesimus, a guy that ran away and likely stole some stuff when he ran away. But now he's transformed and he's saying, hey, this is like my child. This guy's valuable to me. Let's all practice this. Before we criticize someone, before we tear down or just would come to church and say, I'm just going to critique, bite your tongue real hard first. Let that settle in and say, I wasn't called to that. I was called to something much higher. And that's to bring value. The last thing, let's finish this up. And this is probably my favorite part of the whole book. Verse 17 says, so, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul said, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you'd welcome me. Those are pretty big words. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Wow, Paul, really? Let's go on. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Woo! How in the world does Philemon not just make this right? And I believe he does. But we have this older guy in the faith doing what? I love this term. How many have ever heard of the term cashing in your coin? Like, he had a lot of coin with Philemon. He led Philemon to Jesus. Philemon was once unsaved. He had no joy. He had no purpose. Paul brings the gospel. Now, all of a sudden, he's turned inside out for Jesus. He's hosting the church in his house. Man, he owes Paul a lot. Paul had coin with Philemon. Paul was a mentor. Paul was a respected guy in his life. He had a lot of coin, stacks of coin. And Paul's saying, hey, I'm going to cash these in, not for me, but for this young man. I'm going to put myself out there for somebody else. Can I tell you, that's what makes a group of people contagious. Is when you show up and it's no longer about me, but you may see someone else and you may be going through all kinds of troubles right now and having difficulties, but you say to yourself, I'm going to cash in some coin, not for me, but for someone else. And Paul's sitting in prison. He could have said, hey, Philemon, you know, you owe me your very self. Why didn't you send me something? I'm here in prison. Why don't you buy me a good lawyer? You have money. Why don't you send me 5 helpers? He doesn't do any of that. He cashes coin in for someone else. He was willing all that time he spent. He cashed it in. Likely money, effort, pain, toil. Cashed it in. The Bible says there's no greater love than someone lay down his life for a friend. I would pray that our church would be a place where we'd have goggles that would recognize value and we'd begin to see value because we know value. I would pray that we'd become a church that would speak the things that build people up. And when that negative comment that doesn't build up, that doesn't help, starts to come to your mind and through your mouth, that you'd bite your tongue so hard, it'd remind you that you were called to not use unwholesome talk, but only that which builds people up. Granted, sometimes a correction builds people up, but it's done for the purpose of building up. Never just to criticize and critique and tear down, but our words are meant to like see that value and bring it out and build them up. And that we'd be willing to go a step further and say, hey, all that capital I have, I'm going to spend it on you. Man, how many lives can be changed forever? I would love to see 1,000 more David Walls come through this church where we're like, hey, remember the kid that left the jar of pot in my office? I'd rather see that story told so many times over and people in this church have vision for someone to say, this is where they are now, but this is what I see God could do in their life. And not let it be just mere talk. My last verse, and I love this verse, and I'm saving the rest of it for next week. But on verse 22, Paul followed through with this young man. In verse 22, he says, oh, one thing more. Now, I don't think Paul ever got out of prison. In fact, Paul did not get out of prison. He was executed there in Rome. But he writes Philemon this nonetheless. He says, oh, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. So not only do you tell Philemon, hey, man, do this for me. If he owes you anything, charge it to me. But you owe me your very self. Then the very last thing he says, oh, by the way, prepare me a guest room. Imagine Philemon, like probably because he had a big enough place to prepare a guest room, so the dude was loaded. Imagine Philemon's probably thinking, crap, I wonder if Paul's coming. I better be cool to Onesimus. Better give this Onesimus a chance because Paul's fixing to back it up. He's going to show up because I've prepared him a guest room. And that speaks of a willingness to just keep walking with someone, a willingness to say, I didn't just know value so I could see value. I didn't just call value out in you and spoke something that was right and true. But now I've moved on to a point where I've cashed my coin in, but I'm still there. Coaching, mentoring, cheerleading. Man, anybody can be a critic. But I think those that step up and say, hey, it's better with you. It's better with you. Do you know that I truly believe it's better with you? But you know where Crossings Church will take a huge turn? Is when you start believing that. Is when the people of this church, when every one of us start recognizing, I'm not the only one here God's working in. And when I walk onto this campus, it's better with the person in front of me. It's better with the person that took my usual seat. It's better with the person that took the last cup of coffee. It's better with that kid that's making annoying noises. That wasn't your kid, by the way. That's other kids. It's better with you. And when we start to understand that you have powerful influence to play Paul's role and to jump into that place that says, God, I want to know value because I'm partnering with the gospel. I'm not here just to do an hour of church. I'm here because there are lives at stake that need to know Jesus. All over the world, there are people that have to know the gospel. And I don't just come here to put in my time. I come in here to invest my time because there's bigger things at play than just me showing up for an hour. There's lives at stake all around the world and here in our town. And you see that value, and that's the basis. And then you begin to speak that value to people you would see and know. And then you begin to invest. And then you follow up, and there's a certain joy that comes to your life. You know how happy I get when I hear the name David Walls? He was coming to visit the other day to our office. And they're like, David's coming straighten up. Because if you know us, we're a pretty lax group. I mean, Zach and I, here we are, right, buddy? We're pretty relaxed. David's got this real cool pastor haircut now and walks around with his belt tucked in. He's like, and everybody's like, oh, David's coming, straighten up. Pastor David's on his way. I would love to hear that story 1,000 more times. That somebody in Crossings, this time Pastor Randy, saw something in somebody and said, no, it's better with you. And I would love it for every one of us to start living with that kind of a heart and see what God will do. I will tell you this, so many times we think that if I could just get my need met, then I'll get going on this. No, you get in touch with the gospel and you start flowing with what God wants to do and he'll meet your needs. In your bulletins today, grab your bulletins out and I'm closing with this. I just want to do some response here. There's some places you can respond in the bulletin. If I could have you just fill that out, whatever you're comfortable filling out. If you have prayer requests, put them down. We pray for needs every Monday morning. But let me just say this. On the response section, it says, memorize Philemon 1:6. I would love for you to memorize that verse. I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith so you have an understanding of what we have in Christ Jesus. Memorize that. Let that speak to you this week and get a hold of that idea that God wants you to be active in sharing your faith, the partner in the gospel. Number two, think about how to speak value to someone in your life this week and see what that'll do for you. Think about how you can speak value to someone in your life this week. And then lastly, how can you cash in some coin? What's some coin? Maybe it's influence. Maybe it's just straight cash. Like maybe you heard Todd and Chandra like $3,000 to kick off these campuses. Actually, I think that sounds like a great deal. You know, so maybe it's something like that. Like, man, I want to invest in the kickoff in a campus this week, this fall. Maybe it's Calcutta. Maybe it's right here, you know, to invest in our youth group or whatever it is. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's time. Maybe cashing that coin is, God's blessed you with some time, and you're like, okay, summer's over, and we start tearing down next week. Some of you know what that means. That means the week after we start setting up, too. Whoo, and it's hot out there, and I'd love to come sweat with you in the morning. Maybe you got that time. You come at 7:30 and help us sweat together. We'd love to have you. There's all kinds of things, but I want you to check that box and think, I'm going to cash in some coin. Listen, here's how it works in Christianity. The one that dies with all the coin loses. You don't want to die with all kinds of influence, all kinds of money, all kinds of time, all stored away by yourself. That is called losing in this game. I mean, like when they explain the rules to a game. Like some games you realize, like golf, I thought it was if you got the highest score, you won. Till someone pulled me aside, I said, no, Trev, you want the lowest score. I'm like, dang it, I hate this game. Because I really thought I was great at first. I got 140. Loser, you only got 80. And I need to explain the rules of this game, that we don't die with coin. We don't leave this earth with coin. You got to spend it all. The game is go to heaven with as little coin as possible. Like, God, I spent my influence. I spent my time. I spent my money. I spent these things on the kingdom. So if that's you, check that box and pray, God, how can I start spending my coin? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you so much. And Lord, thank you for loving us. And as I stand here and I see people today, I see a bunch of value. Help us all to see value today. Help us all to see your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray for those that maybe haven't trusted you yet, God, that they would start today by saying, I want to know what the gospel is. I want to know what it is to be loved by God. And that they would respond that way. God, we pray that as we check boxes, Lord, we do more than check a box. We check our hearts and we would make a commitment towards your word or make a commitment to say right things, Lord, or spend our lives. Give us courage to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Hey, will you stand with me? I want to say one more word of prayer. And let's give Todd and Chandra a head start by, let's pray for their leadership training this week. 800. That's a lot of students to train. And let's just pray. Their students or leaders? Staff. Wow. That's even bigger. 800 staff. That's a lot of people to train and get them equipped to run all over campus, all over America. Hey, if we want to change America, we're looking at one of the biggest answers I can think of right now, and that's getting those college campuses and see young people one to Jesus. I mean, I can't think of a bigger, better thing to be doing. Let's pray for that this week as we close. Father, we just pray together for Todd and Chandra, and we pray, God, for everything on that list. Specifically right now, Lord, for this training that's going on. God, give them grace. Lord, impact hearts this week. Father, we pray, Lord, that for the 3,000 that's needed, Lord, that you would cause some of us to spend coin and that we would see this need met. Lord, we just pray that you would work in all these ways. Lord, I pray you bless your people as they go, that you'd watch over them. And that your joy would be theirs. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Go with God. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.